1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 is where I'd like you to open up your Bibles this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. We're going to be a little jumping off point for our lesson here this morning. And as you're settling back in, finding that passage, let me take this opportunity to once again welcome all those who are out with us here this Lord's Day. Appreciate your interest in spiritual things that has you to be out with God's people today. We have visitors. We want you to feel welcome. I want you to feel like our honored guest here at the Clarksville Church of Christ, and hope you'll come out and be with us again and again. We want you to understand that all we're interested in is what this sacred volume right here has to say, the Bible. We believe that it is as it reports to be the words of God. The Hebrew writer one time said in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that God has spoken. That God has weighed in on the affairs of man and told us exactly what His will is. And so at this moment, we're going to open up the Bibles and we're going to study the things that God has revealed to us from His holy word. And by doing that, we're going to bring honor, praise and glory to His name. Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak the utterances of God. And he closes that verse by saying that God in all things may be glorified. I'm going to utilize a PowerPoint to my left, and I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the Word of God, for everything I got to say here this morning, so you might know from where it is that we're gathering these things. In 1 Corinthians 2, and verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear heard, neither hath entered to the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love Him. Many times this passage is utilized in a very narrow sense that he's talking about heaven. And boy, how beautiful the streets of gold and the pearly gates and things this must be. But I want you to understand that there is a much broader meaning here. In verse 10, but he hath, or God hath revealed them, that is the things he's prepared for us, to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searched all things, yea, the deep things of God. It is God's incredible plan of salvation of man that Paul has here in his mindset, that God has now revealed to us all the mysteries of the universe through Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation that he has brought forth. In 1 Peter 1, verse 11, Peter said it this way, searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Spirit being sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. God's plan to bring mankind back into a holy communion with Him is so obviously perfect and beyond anything that man could have ever dreamed up. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, or entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared, nor could they. Look at how silly and porous every man-made theology is. Absolutely everything about God's plan fits together and declares that He is the source, the creator, the love, the author of the flawless word. And just like nature and our bodies declare His majestic handiwork, so His plan demonstrates His penmanship. And what I'd like to do for just a few short moments here this morning is review some things about God's plan very quickly in the lesson will be yours to ponder upon. First of all, I want you to understand that we all yearn for God. The very fact that we grope for God is exhibit A in His beautiful plan. In Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11, I read there that He has set eternity in our hearts. There is something that is woven in our very being for me to pant for God. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 63 and verse 1, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You, my flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Psalm 42 verse 1, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants up for You, O God. I thought this at one time was kind of an acquired longing as I was younger, but I've come to realize that it is innate. I mean, we just think sometimes that it's something else. There is, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand, a God-shaped void in all of our lives, and we can continue to try to fill it with the things of this world, but it will always be an ill fit. We are, ladies and gentlemen, as the Greeks called us, anthropos, the upward-looking ones. You look around the world today, and they may not worship the God of the Bible, that they are seeking something to worship, something to attach themselves to. I want you to understand that it is woven in our very beings to yearn for God. Paul says that they might seek the Lord in Acts 17:27, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our very being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We grope and we search, and what do we find? We find God. And we find answers. We find answers to eternal questions. And I want you to see how complete and how fulfilling these answers that come from God are. God's plan that covers everyone for all time and addresses every human need. It answers every question. As I've mentioned, it is for all. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, that he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. Think about that promise. Anyone that is yearning, that is truly seeking a relationship with their Creator, God says they will be fulfilled. They will not seek and not find. They will not knock and a door not open. They shall find me. This message is for all. He is the propitiation, that is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This plan, this revelation, that this love of things that God has prepared for us is for every creature of all time. I read in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 3 that this is good, and some will say that Jesus Christ, I read in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 3, God would not have anyone to perish, but all come to the knowledge of God. Of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. That's the reason why the gospel call was go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. God's plan is for all, not just a certain race, not just a certain nationality, not just a point of view, like the religions of men, but it is for all. But also, it answers questions. It answers questions like, why am I here? Man asked that question. And they want to know why it is that the things of this world are not satisfying for them. And why is it that no matter how much of this world and the goods that they receive, that they still long for more? What else is out there? Well, God's plan reveals that. According, Paul said, as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be a holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to be adopted as children by Jesus Christ himself, according to his good pleasure. Before the first day, I want you to appreciate that God had you in mind. And God had in mind of having a relationship with you. He wants a family, and he wants you to be a part of it. We are his children. Behold, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us. John said that we should be called the children of God. Why am I here? I am here to have a relationship with my Creator, not to get more money, not to get more health, not to have a wonderful 401k pension plan, but I am here for a relationship with God. Eye is not seen, ears not heard, neither enter the heart of man. The things that God has prepared, God has prepared a relationship with him. It is the most significant thing that we could be all about, is a creator relationship with our Creator. The highest purpose that can be imagined, to be a child of the Most High God. Is there a great destiny? Is there a great purpose? Yes. Yes, God reveals. And he also tells me why this world is broken. God's plan tells me this world was not created corrupt. In Genesis 1 and 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning was the sixth day. God created man, and God created the world very good. But we know that it's broken. And we know why. Because God reveals. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt surely die. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, but when the woman saw the tree was pleasant to the eye, good for food, tree to be desired to make one wise, she partook of that fruit. And we see in Genesis 3:17, because you've listened to the voice of your wife and eaten of the tree, I command you, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed. is the ground for your sake. Sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it'll bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat thy bread. This world is cursed because of sin. And why do we see both good and evil in the world today? If God is an all-good God, why is it that we see evil? Well, we just read about that. Sin entered into the world. The eyes of them, verse 7 of Genesis 3, were both open. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves aprons. The genie was out of the bottle. There was no putting it all back in and closing back the cork. Evil was released into the world. I read in Ephesians 6 and 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are now in a battle, a spiritual battle, a battle of good versus evil, and God's plan fully reveals that to you. Because of sin, the world was cursed, and we are now in a world of good versus evil. And it tells us why we see death. Death is a separation. In Genesis 2 and verse 6, God said, "Thou shalt not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for the day that you eat it, thou shalt surely die." Literally, dying, you shall die. Eve repeated that in Genesis 3 and verse 3 when she told Satan, God said, "Do not eat, neither touch that tree, lest you die." But they did touch it, and they did eat it. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Why do we die? Because of sin. Sin's penalty. Death is a perpetual reminder of man's broken relationship with his Creator. And God exquisitely explains the reason behind death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither in the heart of the man, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. A rebellious creation that sinned against Him, who brought about evil to the world and sorrow and death by sin, God has prepared something better for those that love Him. The way He unfolds His plan through time, preparing the world methodically in just the perfect way through the centuries, using flawed people to move His plan forward, people who were never able to derail His plan no matter how hard they try, unveiling the plan piece by piece as man was able to receive it. It's now been revealed. And that remedy has been revealed. In Galatians 4 and verse 4, in the fullness of time, when the time now was right, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that He might redeem them that were under the law. John starts his wonderful gospel like this in John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were created by Him, and nothing that was created was not made without Him. In verse 14, I read, "And that Word, that is God, it became flesh and dwelt among us." And John declared, that is John the Baptist declared in John 1 and verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Sin that brought death. Sin that brought evil. Sin that brought curse. Sin that brought sorrow. Jesus was the Lamb of God to take it away. The plan shows us the ultimate, unfathomable sacrifice that no man could have ever imagined, and that tied all the pieces together in a way that made sense to us only because of all the preparation that allows us to understand God's nature and the depravity of sin and what it would take to defeat its power. And only God could do it, and God did it. Man didn't see it. Man didn't hear it. man couldn't have ever contemplated the things that God prepared for those that love him. In Romans 7 and verse 13, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, it worketh the death of my Savior. Why crucified? Why scourging? Why a crown of thorns? That sin might appear as sin really is. And what it has done to you and I. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but being justified freely by His grace through the redemption power in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that were past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. God worked this magnificent plan to save you and me. God is just, and the penalty had to be paid. The wages of sin was death, and it was paid incredibly by God Himself. Who could contemplate and who could work a plan like that? Not man. Man didn't see it. Man didn't hear it. It never entered the heart of man, the things that God prepared. God, His unfathomable love, is demonstrated to us through the death of His Son. God commended His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He's made us alive together with Christ. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither enter to the heart of man the things that God prepared for those that loved Him, but it's now been revealed by the Spirit. But also it tells me of my final destiny, this wonderful plan. The plan shows us His ultimate destiny, or our ultimate destiny. I know we've heard many times of the circle of life. That's a neat little Buddhist idea. It made for a wonderful song in The Lion King. I liked it. But that's not what life is. Life is not a circle. Life is linear. It's heading to a conclusion. It's heading to a conclusion either with God or without God. Your life is heading toward eternity in a straight line. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own marvelous purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The plan was made before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He has brought life and immortality to light. He has revealed that eternal life is what God has prepared in hope of everlasting life, which God, who cannot lie, has promised when? Before the world began. God's purpose for those that love Him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. And He's told me how to get it. All spiritual blessings, Paul said, all these eternal blessings are found in Christ. Salvation in Christ, in 2 Timothy 2:10. Jesus said, I want you to go and I want you to preach this marvelous plan that God has prepared for those that love Him. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus said in John 8:24, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. He said in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In Matthew 10:32, he said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Paul said, we're all children of God through faith, because as many of us who have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. In Romans 6 and verse 3, I read that, why don't you know that as many of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death, and therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as he then was raised from the dead by the power of God, we too, that is, we too, through the power and plan of God, arise to walk in newness of life. In like figure, baptism does also now save us. 1 Peter 3 in verse 21. Could you come up with that plan? Do you think we could get the most brilliant scientists of our day in a room and just lock them up and say, come up with a plan for the eternal salvation of men's souls? Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them loving. But they have now been revealed to us by the Spirit. I want you to notice that we all yearn for God, and this plan that God has prepared is for all. It is for all of us here today. It tells me why I'm here, which is to have a relationship with my God, why this world is broken and why I see both good and evil, why we see death and we see the remedy. We see our destiny and we see how to get it. And my question to each and every one of us here this morning is, how will you respond? About to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you here this morning to respond to God. If you've not been baptized, to do that here this morning. If there's something else we can help you do to get back on that straight narrow path that leads from this low ground to heaven above, we wish to do that for you. We extend the Lord's invitation to you. Sing this song to encourage you. So if you're subject to me in any way, come forward now as we stand as we sing. Whoa.